Thank you, praise team. Thank you, choir. Yeah, nice. Welcome to you all this morning. I'm going to repurpose an old joke and use it for a different purpose. One of my favorite, this is 30 years old at least, 30 plus. I was in a class with Dwight Nelson at the Fuller Seminary, and this is in the middle of Schuller's heyday of the Crystal Cathedral. Always raising money and get a little holy water from their river or book or something if you'll send in $100. So Peter Wagner said there was a group of people that came up to heaven, and Peter said to Satan, we got too many coming in at one time. I can't handle it all at once. Take a busload of these back down to hell and you can bring them back next week. Got enough more time. Okay. So Satan takes a busload back down. The next week he drives back up and he says, I will never do that again. Don't ask me to do that again. Why? What happened? He said, I drive them down there. We get out of the bus. As soon as we get out of this bus, this guy, Billy Graham, he puts up a pulpit, tries to convert everybody. And this guy, Schuller, starts raising money to air condition the place. And the question is, when does the door close? When is it absolutely drop dead? The door is closed. There is no more time, no more chance. There's no more, okay, we'll try to let you in. When does it become closed? If ever. I have all little stories that I've used over the years to try to describe closed doors. I preached one time last year. I said, I just, whenever Hilda and I see someone in a limo with the smoke glass, we always wonder, who's in there? What would it be like to be in a limo? Never been in a limo. What would it be like to cruise down the road in such a grand vehicle? And when that Saturday night, someone showed up at my house and said, we hear you've never been in a limo. We have a limo for you tonight. 10 o'clock at night, so we got in, we let the boys stay up, they're pushing every button, all the windows are going up or down, and finally they get, where do you want to go? We've already eaten dinner, where do we go? Let's go to Baskin Robbins. I'm sure the first limo that went to Baskin Robbins. So we're driving through the streets of La Sierra in Riverside in our limo. The only problem was, it's 10:30 at night, there's nobody that knows we're in there. What good is it to be in a limo if nobody knows you're in the limo? Closed doors. Never been in first class in an airplane in my life. Just a closed door. Can't go. We've been talking about maybe an Alaska cruise. Part of our bucket list before it's all done. And Hilda says, if we're going to go on a cruise this time, I want to have a balcony. So you can sit there on the way to Alaska and look at the glaciers going by, or the pictures show you whales jumping all the time. You sit there in your balcony. You don't have to be with everyone else. You have your own little balcony. Sit and watch it all go by. It's twice the cost. Just go downstairs and go out to the, you can sit on the deck chair for nothing. It's a closed door. We can't afford to go and have a balcony to ourselves. It's a closed door. In Chicago, we had a lot of fun with this. Back in those days, hospital church, we had a lot of doctors in the church. Every committee was a group of doctors. Everybody had a beeper. It's the ultimate status symbol. You had a beeper, and you'd be in a meeting, and all of a sudden, the beeper would go off, and you say, excuse me, I got to go make a call. I just said, if just once in my life someone would say, Dan, you need a beeper, and if I could have a beeper go off in the middle of a meeting and say, excuse me, I got to go make a call. My self-esteem would be healed forever. I could just have a beeper one day in my life. Closed door, never. No, you need a beeper. We don't need that. Closed doors. The Adventist Church had a long history of dealing with something they called the shut door. If you didn't go through 1844 with all of that group, shut door, you were out. And they used the story of the 10 virgins. The door was shut. Noah's Ark, your name banging on the door is shut. And well, it's a long, slow journey as we begin to open the door again and give people the chance. Shut door. I sat there watching the 60 people get ready for baptism in the prison, in the women's prison in the Philippines. Told you about last week. And I sat there, the band was playing, and they were all singing, and I watched this deaconess lady from the Central Church. And she was going down the aisle of these prisoners and taking their jewelry off. Rings and earrings. Five months, I said, look what's happening. Used to happen in our church here 40 years ago. The only problem was that we only had an hour for the baptism. And we had to start baptizing before she got all the jewelry off. So the front group had all the jewelry off. The back group still had it on. When they get to the gates of heaven, will the front group get in? And will God look through the peephole of the door of heaven and keep that group out? Or will the door be closed to some of them? Hard question sometimes. But Jesus says in the verse for today in John chapter 12, verse 32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men, obviously means everybody, to me. What does that mean? We had a discussion in the School of Business this week where I teach business ethics. And we're wrestling with HR. And what do you do if you're the CEO and you've got restrooms in your business? How do you handle this transgender debate? Do you go with North Carolina that says we're going to go by what you were at your birth certificate? Or are we going to go by what you think you are today? You were a man all your life, and now you think you're a woman, and you transition, and you do whatever, and you wear your hair long, and you wear a dress. And now we're going to let you in a women's restroom with little girls. And boy, they were not going to do that. That door is closed. One lady said, there's no way I'm letting that man in my room. Jesus says, all. I will draw all. We went to the Apartheid Museum in Johannesburg in South Africa. You pay your ticket, and then they give you one ticket, white or black. And if you had a black ticket, then you had to go through the door that said blacks only. And you had to do certain things as if you were a black person during apartheid. It's an amazing person to be a white person with what they call white privilege. And all of a sudden now you have to think about what would it be like to be black and have certain doors closed to you. Not because you didn't have the skill or the talent, but because of something you had nothing to do with. Closed doors. We're doing a baptism last week. 887 people in a swimming pool. I think there should be a picture there somewhere. There we go. 30 men baptizing. And not Pastor Sarah, who here is an ordained pastor, but not there. She's okay. She's very sweet. But just to tell you this side of it. Preaching to 7,000 people in that stadium that day, my computer crashed in front of everybody, first couple minutes. And Sarah, who had been looking out for me all week at the crusade, came out from behind the doors. And while I tried to keep going without those notes anymore, she got the computer rebooted again. I got the clicker and began to go, it did not work. Worked every night, every day. They just put a new battery. Did not work. 7,000 people. Sarah said, I'll push the button. She squatted on the floor so no one could see her. So she's up there pushing the button. I would make little gestures and she would do it. Finally, someone brought her a chair. Saved the day. Servant leadership. I came off that floor. I saw Sarah. Hugged her. I said, Sarah, I owe you the biggest dinner in the world. But they won't let her baptize. She's a woman. Closed door. And Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. What does that mean, all? This is a colossal verse in the book of John. This is a transition from the other chapters that talk about his regular day-to-day ministry. And now he just finished raising Lazarus. And he announces that I am this, I am the resurrection and the life. He knows he's about to die. And now we go into chapter 12. And now we're in the death week. And he says, the hour has come. This is why I came, is to die. And he says, but if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. He is saying, this is not just going to be one more Jew dying somewhere. This is going to be colossal. This is a cosmic final battle. One of us is going to win and one of us is going to lose. And Jesus is saying, if I be lifted up, this has to do with the whole world. I will draw all to me. Not just one more person dying. What does it mean, this drawing, as we take this verse and try to wrestle with it for a few minutes today? Does it mean that God, Jesus, draws everybody all the time? If you have your grandmother praying for you, does that mean that God is drawing you harder than someone who does not have their grandmother praying for them? Does God have different intensities by which he draws people? Does he draw everybody everywhere all the time? And I'm preaching a crusade in this city, and there's no preacher in that city. Is God now drawing more people than he is over there? When we get down to the latter rain in the last days, and the Holy Spirit will be poured out, does it mean that God is now going to turn up the volume, and he's going to amp up the pace of this, and now he's going to do more miracles, and there's more angels in the battle, and there's going to be something more from God's side? Or not. Jesus says, I draw all men unto me. Does it change? Or is Jesus drawing all, everybody, everywhere, all the time, the same? Do you feel this drawing? You came here today because something drew you. And talk about it in the Song of Solomon, the lover. Go out and find, I'm going to go out and look for him somewhere, this desire. I'm ready for my lover. Everything is ready. I'm going to go out everywhere. I'm going to look over the whole town until I find him to come. There's this drawing. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, I have drawn you with an everlasting love. Drawing. Revelation 3 verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. Drawing. If anyone opens the door, it's drawing. God is always drawing. Can we say this? God is always drawing. He never sleeps. He is never taking a vacation. He's never not aware. He draws all people all the time, equally everywhere, all the time, forever. There is never any differential with God. Jesus says, if I lift up, I will draw all men to me. All means all. There is no tachometer where he works at 1,000 RPM, 2,000, and then finally up to 7,000. God is maxed out all the time. He is drawing on everywhere all the time. And he does not stop until people tell him no 1,000 times. Get out of my life 1,000 times. Before he finally says, okay, I will stop drawing you to honor your choice. You have the picture of the 1,000 steps going up to Mount Sinai. 3 in the morning, I climbed up 1,000 steps. You go to Thailand, to Doi Suthep, outside Chiang Mai, you go up 139, whatever it is, up to the top. The idea that you have to climb certain steps to get to God. Martin Luther goes to Rome and he's going up every step. He's kneeling and he's praying. You have to climb these steps to get to Christ. And Jesus says, no, you don't have to climb any steps. I am the one drawing you. Just don't fight it off. And this famous, famous quotation, Steps to Christ, page 27. The sinner may resist this love, may refuse to be drawn to Christ. But if it does not resist, he will be drawn to Jesus. Amen? You don't have to do anything. Just don't fight him off. He'll draw you to him. Number 2, this cross. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We've had a small group studying after the potluck every week. We met last week. David and Steve and others lead out in this discussion. And we've been wrestling with this ultimate question about the cross. Did Jesus die in order to satisfy the demands of God? Or did he die to satisfy the needs of man? See, what does this verse say? Is the cross to draw God back to man, as the pagans do, or is the cross to draw man back to God? What does Jesus say? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Which direction is the question? Let's first make it clear. Once you see this, it's everywhere in the Bible, but somewhere I went a long time without seeing it. And I had not seen that in this verse until this week. But it's like buying a car. You don't see the car until all of a sudden you buy that car. Now you see that car everywhere. Once you make this transition in the Bible, it's there everywhere. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. What does God want for you? Not for the Father to see you differently. That Jesus wants you to see the Father differently. Stand at the door and knock. If any man, see, I was blind, but now I see. It's everywhere. And the veil rips. Was the veil ripping so that God could see out more clearly? Or so that we could see God more clearly? It's everywhere in the Bible. I can give you 50 more. And then you go to Revelation chapter 5. Very interesting. Some of the people from the group gave it to me last week. I never seen this, never heard of this before. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, there was a day when the four living creatures and the 24 elders sing a new song. They were singing before, and now they have a new song. And now they sing about worthy is the Lamb, because now they see the cross. And John Cook, is John here? Are you here, John? John raised his hand and he said, it's not just a third of the angels that fell away. When there was a meeting in heaven, nearly half the angels, she says, were on Satan's side. And Satan pointed to God and said, here was his sympathizers. They said, nearly half of the angels. But only a third were cast down in Revelation chapter 12. So evidently, there's that group between a half and a third. There was a group that had questions at first about God, but they decided not to go. They decided to stay in heaven, but they still had the questions. But when they saw Jesus, God himself, come down and die on a cross, they said, okay, no more questions. And they began to sing a new song, and they sing, worthy is the Lamb. What is the purpose of the cross? Is it for God to somehow be satisfied, or is it for people and angels to see something new about God? And we say, it's for us to see something new about God. I will draw all men to me. See? And then they sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I got a new illustration, David. Where's David? David was making me sweat last week. And in the thick of the battle, I came up with an illustration. David isn't convinced yet, but anyway, I like it. We had a situation one time. I can't give you too many details. But we had a kid that was going to our school who was not doing well, family situation not good. And one particular year, whatever grade it was, he failed every single class. And he could not go on till the next grade. And all that year of tuition would be wasted. And they had no money. And she said, Pastor Dan, is there anything I can do? Can he do summer school? Can he do some remedial tutoring? Something. So they called the school, called that teacher. And the teacher said, if he will come down to school, school was over June, and if he will carry all my textbooks over to the storage room, I'll change all the grades from F to D minus and he can pass. Is that okay with you? Is that okay with you, Leonard? School of Education professor? Is that where the problem is? Is the problem the teacher who has the power, whether you go up to the next level or not? You need to take care of the teacher. Move books for the teacher, and then you can go to the next level. Or is the problem you haven't learned math and history yet? And I called the school and I said, that is not the problem. The problem is not the teacher moving the books. You need help, I'll go help you move the books. The problem is he does not do the work. That's where the problem is. Where is the problem that the cross was here to solve? Is the problem with God that somehow we need to take care of God? Something has to take care so that God sees something differently about us. Or is the problem we need to see something different about God? And Jesus says, if I'll be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we can go to the next level when we have been drawn to Jesus. And if you have a flyer in the bulletin, this movement is growing in the Adventist Church. And we are going to have a weekend in October. We haven't talked a lot about it yet, but I need to work hard on it this week. We are bringing in 8 or 10 or maybe 12 of the best speakers in Adventism who are writing about this issue. They had one on the East Coast. We're going to have one on the West Coast now, in the nonviolent atonement of the cross. And there's beginning to be a movement of people who are wrestling. When we talk about the cross, can we talk about the cross in a way that does not do damage to the character of God? And we can understand the cross, and everyone has a little different way. And we're bringing Tim Jennings and Alden Thompson and Herb Montgomery, and we're flying them all here, and we will have them from Thursday to Sunday, private meetings, public meetings, and grand congregational meetings for everyone to come to. Everyone giving their 30-minute message and a scholarly paper on understanding the cross. And we're hoping to come out with a book and get that out there for the world to hear. There's a movement to make sure that when we talk about the cross, that the angels see the truth about God, that we see the same truth that the angels are singing about. Amen? We hope that you'll put that on your calendar, save the date, and don't miss that. Now, we come to the heart of this. Does all mean all? When Jesus says, I will draw all men unto me, how far does that go? We have a little drama. Can you come up? You've seen this drama before. I'm going to do a very short version of it. We did it a week ago Friday night in front of 1,000 people in Manila. And in the drama, we have a Jesus. And we played this little song called Come Just As You Are by Crystal Lewis. And then we have young people pop up all over the stage. And they begin to act out the drama. Are you going to come to Jesus? And Jesus gestures, come, come. I want you to come. Jesus died for you. He says, I am drawing. He is drawing all the time. And people begin to wrestle. Maybe some of them got a tennis racket and they're wrestling with sports and life and fun. And they're trying to decide this tug of war. Should they come to Jesus or not? Other people have a bottle of alcohol and they got a little bottle of alcohol and they're drinking and having a good time and they're wrestling. Shall I come? They're feeling drawn, but they're not sure whether they should come or not. Sometimes I'll have a couple and one of the two in the couple want to go, but the other one isn't sure they want to go and they're fighting. No, I don't want to go. And the tug of war was on. They're all being drawn to come to Jesus. Jesus says, I will draw all men unto me. Will you come?
Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come.
That's the question. Usually in our drama, we don't have everyone go. Most go, but not everyone go. There's always a few that say no. When Jesus says, I will draw all men unto me, does he mean there will be a day when Jesus will find a way to save everybody? And it is a growing movement in the Christian world of universalism. is that God respects all religions. God loves everybody. God is the open door. He will eventually find a way to give you enough chances that everyone will eventually be there kneeling around God. And we will win the universe all over to God. And that people will get repeated chances to come. What does Jesus mean when he says, I will draw all to him? Do we believe that Jesus will save everybody? Will everybody be saved? Don't think so. Bible doesn't seem to indicate that. Did Jesus save everybody on the cross? Yes or no? Did Jesus save everybody at the cross? Yes, I think the Bible says that. Jesus died for the whole world. He said, I will draw all men unto me. He died for the sins of the whole world. Romans says, by one man's life, he gave life to everybody. Jesus died for everybody. And he has won them all. Jesus wanted everybody, and he opened the door to everybody. The murderer that we baptized in the woman's prison, she is part of all. Jesus died for her, and he saved her. A man came to Jesus, and he said, if you are willing, you can set my servant free, or whatever it was. And he said, am I willing? Are you kidding? How can you ask me? Solomon had 1,000 wives worshiping all kinds of idols and images. But I've got him. David committed murder and adultery. He's on my list. Tamar, Rahab, Hosea's wife, all prostitutes. I've got all of them. Peter denied me 3 times. I've got him on my list. How can you ask me if I am willing? I take them all. I died for them all. I will draw all men unto me. Jesus died for everybody. And I would like to throw out this idea. Here's the hard question that David and the others asked me. What about the people in the Old Testament, Pastor Dan? They never had a chance to hear about Jesus. They're the family of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Their father, their grandfather did something wrong, but they punished the children and the grandparents. Everybody swallowed up and they're dead. Amalekites, everybody's killed. They didn't do anything wrong. They never had a chance to see Jesus. They sleep right through that. They sleep through the end of the world. They sleep through the second coming. They sleep through the 1,000 years. And they wake up, and all of a sudden, they're outside the city, and there's 1,000 people inside the heaven, and they have no chance. How did Jesus die for them when they never get to hear about it or see it? I said, could it be that when God puts that big screen video and shows in the great white throne judgment, the judgment of God, and they begin to see the cross in real time, that Jesus is still drawing. He says, I will draw all men to me. And the door is always open. Jesus says, I have set before you a door that no man can shut. Could it be that the door is always open? This is just who God is. He doesn't have the door open. It's okay, that's it. Shut the door. You shut the door on God. He doesn't shut the door on you. The door is always open. After 1,000 years, the door is still open. There are people who say to God, I think if you give them one more chance, God, they'll do it. One more. Yeah, come on, God. How hard would that be? One more chance. If they could just see the city for real, God, you never showed us anything. It's all just guessing and guessing. Now, here it is. Maybe they'll do it, God. If they could just see you face to face. We never got to see you, never got to hear you. Maybe give them one more chance. And God said, okay, here I am. Here's the city. There's the cross. Door's open. You want to come? That Jesus never stops drawing. Never closes the door. Never says, that's it. The door is always open in the heart of God. The hand is always out. The light is always on. That's who God is, once and for all, forever and ever. This particular belief would say Jesus died for everybody. When he died, he put everybody's name on the list. He bought a place in heaven for them. He says, hey, I go to prepare a place for you. He prepared a place for everybody. He wanted everyone there. Jesus says, I will draw all men unto me. His hand is always out. He never stops drawing everybody everywhere all the time. He just adds one more verse. He says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth shall have everlasting life." All you have to do is not resist and believe, and the door is open. Amen? One of the great verses of the Bible, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all." God, in his heart, is a universalist. He wants all. Whoever you are, there are no closed doors from God. We close it on him. There's an old story that I've used for a long time. Many of you have heard. I just want to put it here so it's on this tape. About the four soldiers in World War II who had one of their buddies die. They brought him to the Catholic Church and they said, "Could we bury our friend in your little cemetery behind the church?" And they said, "Was he Catholic?" "No, don't think he was Catholic." "Then you have to bury him outside the fence." So they buried him outside the fence and went back to the war. After the war was over, they came to visit the grave of their friend. They couldn't find it anywhere. They went to the priest and he said, "Where's our friend? We can't find it." And he said, "I was wrong. I'm so sorry. I should never have told you. He had to be outside." "So did you move him?" "No, I couldn't move him. So I moved the fence so that he would be inside." And Jesus is saying when he died that he moved the fence. Whatever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, you're inside. If you want to be in, you're in. Just believe, and you're in. God bless you all.